You know, in our world right now, there's so much trouble, so much fear and anger and sadness in our world. I just want to remind you, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. That doesn't change. Our God still gives us the victory. And I want to remind you that Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still seated on the throne. No matter what happens in this world or what happens in our personal lives, we just need to remember that our God is more than enough. Whatever happens, it's not anything that our God can't handle. And when it looks like there's no way, He always makes a way. All through the scripture, we see the Lord turning impossible situations around. Over and over again, when it looks like there's absolutely no way, God shows up and everything changes. Even when sinful men do evil things, somehow God is able to turn it around and bring good out of it. Even when Satan does his best and it looks like he's won a victory, God is able to turn it around. Amen. We need to know that. We need to remember that, whatever's going on. You know, the greatest example of that is, of course, when our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. What a victory Satan thought he had. The world thought he had. And even God's people, even the disciples thought that it was all over. But he turned it all around when Jesus came out of the grave and rose from the dead. And we know that he is alive forevermore. We just need to remember these things when we consider what's going on in our world or what might be going on in our life. It's not too much for our God. He can turn it all around. You know, if you could just imagine what it must have been like for the disciples who had watched Jesus be taken away and tortured and then crucified, you know, and after he has died, for them, it's just like they're just lost. Now what do we do? No hope. Their leader, their Lord, their Savior. I want to tell you, they were hurting. Are you hurting today? We all know Jesus rose from the dead. He turned it all around, but we just need to remember that it's never too bad. It's never too far gone. It's never too late for our God. I want to remind you that he loves you, that he is good. God is good. You may not understand sometimes, but he is good. He's all powerful. He's always with us, and he's for us. And he will help us if we will believe. Listen, we're going to go to Luke chapter 24 and begin with verse 13. And we're going to look at some other scriptures as well, but we'll keep coming back to Luke 24. But it tells us about two disciples that were down and discouraged. You might be there this morning, but all of us have those times in our life. They had just given up hope. Here it is, beginning from verse 13, Luke 24. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." The story tells us about these two disciples who are walking down the road, this 7 mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're just talking about all that had just happened. You know, they had seen the Lord crucified, and they had watched as Jesus died on the cross. They saw all of the sadness, the sorrow. They experienced all of that as Jesus died this horrible death. And we don't know exactly what was going on with them, but we do know this. They got out of town. They got out of Jerusalem and headed down the road to Emmaus. We'll go to verse 15. "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Jesus himself shows up and he's walking along with them, but their eyes were somehow restrained so they didn't know that it was him. But you'll notice it says they conversed and reasoned. While they're just, you know, talking, going along the way, and they're conversing, they're reasoning. And you know, this is what we do so much of life, but especially when we're going through a hard time and difficult situation or something wild has happened in our world, we talk about it and we reason and we try to figure it out. We do a whole lot of that. We talk about it and we talk about it and we're trying to understand. We're confused. We're trying to make sense of everything. So many things in life we don't understand. Not just right now, but I tell you, through all of life, we all go through those things that we just can't make sense of. Right. And we look at our world, you know, and another shooting or some kind of terrible destruction, you know, a tornado, a hurricane, a flood comes, all kinds of things happen in this world that it's hard to make sense of and understand. In our personal lives, you know, there could be sickness, disability, the loss of a loved one, a failed marriage, a relationship between parent and teenager that falls apart, the loss of a job. Sometimes it's just hard to understand, and we're left with these questions. And we want answers. I know that it's simplistic and just too easy to say, but Jesus is the answer. He really is the answer. I know. No, we want to understand the situation. We just need to remember that Jesus is the answer. We got to look to Jesus. He's always the answer. No matter how confused or how hurt or how scared somebody might be, Jesus is still the answer. The scripture says that he drew near and went with him. They didn't even realize who he was. I mean, they're walking along with the risen Lord, and they were totally unaware. That's where we live. A lot of the time, we're doing life. I'm talking about believers now. He's with us, and we just are unaware. We need to always be aware, realize his abiding presence, that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Yes, so we're walking along the way and we're talking with our friend or we're, you know, driving down the road talking to him on the phone, but we didn't remember Jesus is with us. Amen. And it's okay to talk to a friend. Sometimes that's a good thing, to have a friend you can talk to about the difficult things in life. But I just got to tell you this morning, we need to do a little more talking to Jesus. And some of us, we're just like these guys. You know, we don't know why their eyes were restrained, but they didn't see who it was that was talking to them. We need to see that Jesus is with us through all of life and all of the challenges, the difficulties and the heartaches, the struggles. There is this abiding presence that's always with us. Verse 17, he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? What kind of conversation is this? You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus asks them, he knows what kind of conversation that they're having. What kind of conversation is this as you walk and you're sad? What kind of conversation are you having? He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows exactly what our conversations are, but he also knows this. See, he knows when we're sad. He could tell that these guys were sad. And he knows when we're sad. He knows when we're mad. He knows when we're upset. I want to tell you, anytime the Lord asks somebody a question, it is not because he doesn't know the answer. I heard I'm trying to figure out how I can say that and be nice. I heard a man say wrongly one day that there are things that God doesn't know because he asks somebody a question in the scripture. Listen, anytime God asks a question, it is not because he doesn't know the question is always for our benefit. He asked a question for our benefit. And Jesus asked these guys what they were talking about, you know, as they walk along and are sad. He's asking them for their benefit. Because get this, they've been having this conversation and they're sad. But they need to talk to Jesus about it. And we need to talk to Jesus about the things we're sad about, the things we're mad about, or the things we're upset about. We need to talk to Jesus about it. Amen. Have you talked to Jesus about why you're sad? Why you're upset? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who have not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" How ironic is this? How strange is this? They're like, "Are you the only one that doesn't know about these things?" What things? Does he know? He has, listen, he has a very personal knowledge of these things, a real different perspective. He went through it all. I want to tell you, he knows everything that you go through. Our high priest was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly. He sees it all. But he wants us to talk to him, to tell him about it. We just need to have a talk with Jesus. And sometimes we just need to pour our heart out to Jesus. It's not that he doesn't already know, but we need to pour it out to Jesus. Oh, and it's different than just talking to an earthly friend when you can pour it out to the Lord Jesus. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." I want you to realize that these guys have already heard firsthand reports that Jesus is risen from the dead. And yet they're walking along sad. But in verse 21, they said, "We were hoping." Another translation says, "We had hoped." We had hoped that he was the one. But now their hopes have been dashed. And here's the thing. We could all write our own story or stories that begin with, "We had hoped." We've all had disappointments. We've all had times where things didn't go the way that we thought they would, where our hopes have been shattered. You hoped that this person was going to be the one. You hoped. You had hope when you said, "Till death do us part." You had hope that one day that time was going to come when you're going to retire and enjoy just taking it easy, but you found out you had a terminal illness. You're going to buy that house, but then it all fell apart. You had hoped, but your adult children aren't really serving the Lord like they ought to be. And here's the thing. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." And this is how heartache comes a lot of the time, is that we have envisioned how things are supposed to be and what's supposed to happen. And that's exactly where these two disciples were. They had in their mind how it was supposed to go. We, a lot of the time, we have in our mind how this is supposed to be, how this is supposed to work out. And then when it doesn't happen, so often we lose hope. The problem is not with God or His Word. It's with our finite thinking. We need to remember Isaiah 55 and 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." They said we had hoped that He would be the one that was going to redeem Israel. He was. He is. He did. But it didn't happen the way they thought it would. And we just need to understand that so often, yes, God is going to fulfill His word, but it doesn't seem to happen the way that we thought. In our finite minds, we think it's got to be this way. Who would have ever thought that the greatest victory would come through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? But God raised Him from the dead. And so it is so often in our life that God turns things around. You know, when our hopes are crushed, we just got to believe anyway. Like Abraham, as he believed for that promised son. In Romans 4:18, it says, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. He just believed anyway, even though there was no hope. And you see, that's what we've got to do, is believe even when it doesn't go the way that we thought that it should. We can't just give up hope and walk away. Then He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." You see, the problem isn't that God has let them down or that the promises are not true. The problem is that they were slow of heart to believe. They knew some things in their head. They had even heard the testimonies of the risen Lord, but they were slow of heart to believe. I got to tell you this morning, sometimes we are slow of heart to believe. But Jesus can help us catch up. You know, when you're a little slow, Jesus can help us catch up. They were slow. He says, foolish, slow of heart to believe. But then He helps them. We just need to remember. I mean, does Jesus really heal? Is He really our provider? Does He really make a way when there is no way? I'll tell you, if we'll believe the promises of God, all that He's already done for us. Jesus said to them, verse 26, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." See, when you're struggling, when you're going through a hard time, when you feel like walking away, when you're sad, when you're upset, you know what you need to do? You need to go to the scriptures. Jesus took the scripture. It says from Moses and all the prophets, all the scriptures that spoke about Him, He expounded it to them. I don't know how long this journey was. I'm not just talking about the trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus either. I'm talking about a journey that Jesus took these two on through the scriptures. Because sometimes just a verse or just a little dab isn't going to do you. Sometimes you need more than that. You see, we need to go to the scriptures, to the Word of God, because there is where our hope is restored, where our faith is strengthened, where we get our minds right, where we get our heart turned around. It's in the scripture, in the Word of God. And in the culture that we're living in right now, and I'm talking about church culture, so many people are not spending real time in the Word of God. The answer to we had hoped It's in the scriptures. When you're confused, when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed and you're hurting, listen, struggling in your faith, the answer is to go to the scriptures. We don't read them for theological bait. We're not just looking for some new cool teaching. We go to the scriptures because they speak to us. They are light and life to us. They bring faith to our heart. And if you don't know where to begin, I'm going to tell you, well, first, we always begin by asking the Lord to help us. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't really understand the truths of His Word. And we're not wanting to just read words on a page. We're wanting God to speak to us. So we always ask the Lord to help us to understand. But as a pastor, I just want to give you something real practical this morning. I know that some of you, this is new to you. For you to really become a student of the Word, to really read the Scripture and study it. Instead of just having somebody else read a verse to you and tell you what it means. And I just want to give you this real simple. If this is new to you, I want to say, it's all good. All of it is good. And God may direct you to a certain chapter or a certain verse, a certain passage. But I just want to say, if you just don't have a clue where to begin, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And read the Psalms. You'll find that so often there are Psalms that are written where those people that wrote those under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they relate to so much of the things that we go through in life. But it's all good. Here's the important thing. We need to go to the Scriptures. Jesus opened the Scriptures to them so that they could understand them. We also can allow the Holy Spirit to open the Scripture to us so we can understand it. I love this prayer from Psalm 119 and verse 18. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. We go to the Scripture expecting spiritual truth, God to speak to us, faith to rise in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, He's our helper. He guides us into truth. He shows us things that we couldn't understand on our own. Verse 28, it says, then they drew near to the village where they were going. He indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. You know, the Lord can show up in your life in any situation, whatever you're going through. But I think sometimes we miss it. Because we're so busy, so distracted. And sometimes just a few moments is just not enough. Right. We like that microwave Christianity. It doesn't work. Right. And here's the strange thing that happened here. They constrained him. They're like, no, stay with us. Stay with us a little longer. Just a little longer. I think the Lord is trying to constrain a lot of us. I mean, I've even heard preachers talk about, you know, God had to get me on a sick bed to get my attention. But I just think a lot of the time in our culture, we're just so hurried and running here, so busy. We don't. Anybody ever felt hurried even when you were praying? Got to hurry up and do. We forget that we're talking to the one who can move the sun back. He can turn the clock back. But, oh, we're so busy and hurried, we don't really have time. I want to say to you, now at this point, they didn't even know who this was. But they knew something was happening in their heart. I want to say to you, you see, for us, we need to have that same attitude that they did. Not like, well, you know, I did my 15 minutes. Praise God, now I can get on with my day. No, and especially when we're going through a hard time and we got questions, you're not going to find the answers on social media or watching the news. That's not helping. You need to get alone with Jesus and his word, and you need to constrain him and say, Lord, I need something from you. You need to be like Jacob when he was wrestling with God, and he said, I won't let go until you bless me. I got to have something. They constrained him. They wanted more. We ought to be that way. I want more Jesus. I'm not in, and sometimes it's not even just because you need a word. You just want to have a little more time with the one who's always good, the one who's perfect in all his ways, the one who will never let you down, the one who is faithful. And it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? He vanished from their sight. He didn't go through the door. He's just there one moment, one second, and the next he's gone. And you know what? The strange thing is they weren't even upset. They weren't like, Lord, where'd you go? Because something had changed in their heart. There was a fire on the inside. He had turned their hearts. They got what they needed. And I'll tell you, when we have that time with the Lord and he opens the scripture to us, one word from God can give us the strength, the faith that we need to press on to victory. You see, that time with God is so important when we're going through a difficult place. Their hearts burned. They were slow to believe, but now they had faith and victory. Their passion was renewed, and they're ready to go on with the plan and the purpose of God after Jesus opens to them the scriptures. See, sometimes our hearts can just kind of begin to grow cold. We can even go to church every week and yet not really have our hearts on fire for God. And what's needed here? Oh, it's to have an experience with the Lord where he speaks to our heart, where his word speaks to us and we hear it and it changes us. It'll turn us around. These guys had left Jerusalem and the other disciples, they were discouraged when they left, sad as they walk along the way. But now they're encouraged. In fact, now these guys that were discouraged, they're ready to be the encouragers now. They want to go back to Jerusalem and help the others. They had a bunch of questions. They got some answers now. In verse 33, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. These two guys on the road to Emmaus, they literally turned around. They were on the way to Emmaus, but now they turned around. They're going back to Jerusalem. But it wasn't just something that happened on the outside. It was something that happened on the inside, that God had turned their heart back to him. He had warmed their heart. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if in your walk with the Lord, if you're not really on fire for God, he can turn you around. You got to allow him to speak to your heart. Allow him to do a work in your heart and your life. But some of us here this morning, see, These guys, they knew some things now they didn't know before. They had a different perspective on things. And some of us here this morning, we need to understand these things. We need a different perspective that God is still at work, that God is still moving in our life. He can make a way. But you got to turn to Him in prayer and let Him speak to you. Same road. These guys traveled down the same road. They traveled down it again. But the road before, there was no hope. Now hope has been restored. Now the possibilities. Before, the emotion was sad. But now they have great joy, victory. Now I want you to think about this. Their circumstances hadn't actually changed. They had already heard the reports that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they didn't believe. Their circumstances hadn't changed. It was their perspective. It was having that time with the Lord and Him speaking to their heart. And it changed everything. It changed their emotions. It changed the conversation. It changed their intent, their attitude, their purpose. Everything turned around from that time with the Lord. And I want to tell you, you see, God can speak to you. He can give you a word. He can show you something in the scripture that will turn your life around, get you headed the right direction. These guys, they went through the same kind of feelings, emotions, and thoughts that we do. Disappointments, hurts, struggles. But God is able to turn it around for us. They went back. They had something to tell. We have something to tell. And some of the things that you might be going through right now, it's going to become a story for you to tell. Because God will come through. He'll make a way. But we don't always understand everything. There are going to be things that we don't understand in this life. But I just want to say to you, you see, what we always need, the answer is having that closeness with Jesus, where we pour it out to Him, and then we allow Him to speak to our heart His truth and show us. Somebody here this morning, you're going down the road of life sad. I want to tell you, He wants to turn you around. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you the spirit of praise instead of heaviness. Somebody here this morning giving up hope. He wants to restore your hope, give you a future. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you, maybe you've been heading away from the plan and purpose of God. He wants to turn you around, get you back on course. And maybe somebody here today, you've just been wandering away from the Lord Himself, not really walking with the Lord. Turn back to Him. He's been waiting. He's right there for you. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.